Hello, this is attorney Marco Schiavo from Simmons & Schiavo. We have many estate planning clients who own real estate or are in the process of buying a home, and we wanted to give some insight on the pre-approval process. So I have brought in as a guest today a good friend of mine, Mr. John Faria, who is a senior mortgage advisor with Province Mortgage. John, welcome to the show today.
Thank you for having me, Marco. It's good to see you again.
Tell us about yourself and Province Mortgage.
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, I'm a senior mortgage advisor with Province Mortgage. I've been in the industry since 2008. I obtained my licensure in 2012. So approximately 6 years, or coming up on 6 years as a licensed loan originator. And as far as the company goes, we specialize in residential mortgage loans. Anything from a single family to a four family, purchase, refinance. The company has been in business since 2005 and just continued growth, always looking to improve our systems, our procedure, and most importantly, our service.
Fantastic.
Great company.
It's all about service, right?
It is. You know, it's pretty telling when you work for the same company for 6 years. It means that they're doing something right, and they're doing a lot right here at Province.
Fantastic. So tell us about what does a consumer need to know before contacting a lender for a pre-approval. So pre-approval, when you're buying a home, generally the first step is to get a pre-approval from a lender. Can you tell us a little bit about that process?
Sure, of course. And I think it's important to, answer any concerns or questions that people have about getting a pre-approval. It's important for them to understand how important it is to do that first, to make sure that you are qualified, you're in the best possible position to secure the financing. When it comes time to do that, it's really a simple process. It begins with, in my opinion, the most important part, which is to discuss your goals and your objectives. Because at the end of the day, if I don't know what you're trying to accomplish and your family are trying to accomplish, well, there's no way I can exceed your expectations.
Right. And that's really
the right program.
Right, and that's sort of our philosophy is at our firm is find out what your goals and expectations are first.
Listen first.
Absolutely.
Pretty simple. Pretty simple, right?
So tell us, what are the keys to qualifying? How does someone qualify for a mortgage?
Absolutely. So, of course, when you're talking about goals and objectives, just to give you a little bit of idea of what we're looking for, certainly we want to know what type of property you want to buy. Is it a single family, condo, multi? What area? How much are you looking to spend? And I think the single most important thing that we're going to ask you is how much can you comfortably afford per month?
Right, and the key is comfortably.
Well, that's, you know, 9 out of 10 people qualify for more home than they can comfortably afford. So you want to make sure that they understand that based on your budget, you should be shopping in this range. Because there's nothing worse than going out and seeing a home or viewing a home that's outside of your comfort zone with your budget and then having that to compare with every other home that you look at. It can be pretty disappointing. So, again, another reason why it's important to speak to a lender first. As far as the keys for qualifying, it's really pretty simple. We look at three core criteria, and I compare it to a three-legged stool. Ultimately, we're looking for income, which is your ability to repay the loan that you're taking out. We look at your assets so that you can meet the minimum down payment requirements and any reserve requirements that apply.
So and that's then, assets, total assets, or just liquid assets?
And it can be liquid or semi-liquid, so retirement assets and things of that nature we can certainly use for reserves. Liquid assets, of course, we would need to see for minimum down payment requirements, things that you will be using towards the transaction. And then finally, the third leg of the stool is your credit. I mean, ultimately, there's three core criteria. Now, each one has their own unique characteristics and unique requirements, and I'll spend a little bit of time, if you'll allow me to, just to kind of discuss those as well.
Sure, that would be great.
Cool. So the first one, when it comes to income, things that, and I think the best way to do it, because there's just so many different scenarios that could be, I could be talking here for 30 minutes, but I think the best way to handle this is to talk about all three and maybe some potential pitfalls of things you should be conscious of. So first and foremost, income is pretty simple, right? You need to make money in order to repay the debt.
Right.
Things you should be aware of or conscious of is the line of work you're in or the profession. You need to have a history of employment. So you want to be mindful of changing jobs frequently. Mortgage lenders, naturally, that are going to be lending you money want to see that consistency.
They don't want to see people jumping from job to job, right. No consistency. They're employed now and may not be employed in the near future because they quit their job.
Absolutely.
They have a history of quitting their job after a few months.
Absolutely. Right. So You know, consistency within the same profession, naturally, the longer you've been doing that same job or that same profession, the stronger your loan profile will be. Now, requirements will vary, but another big part is if you do change jobs, which is totally fine, try to be mindful of gaps in between your old job and your new. I think that's very important to recognize. So as far as assets go, one thing to be super mindful of is be prepared to be able to source any kind of large deposits. So be mindful of what is coming and going out of your accounts. So if you have reoccurring liabilities or expenses that you're paying over and over again, well, be prepared to explain where that's going. Who's okay. It going to?
Okay.
Deposits always need to be sourced. We need to know where is that money coming from if it's a non-payroll related source.
Okay, so the gift, you need to source where the gift is coming from.
You bet.
Okay, and then do you have to source, once you know where the gift is coming from, do you have to verify that from the person who's given you that gift?
The donor, absolutely. Right. In most cases, we have to actually see that it is the donor's money, in fact. So we might ask for that gift donor's bank statement, for example.
Okay, so and they're able to redact and take out any private information, correct?
In most cases, yes.
Excellent.
In most cases, yeah. And I think, you know, the lesson here when it comes to assets, you know, that mason jar you have full of cash or that money you got stuffed under your mattress, call and ask first with how to use that as wise as possible. Clearly, you don't want to be making deposits into an account that you're going to use for a transaction. That may cause a potential an issue.
Okay.
Credit standpoint, that's something you could go into for quite some time. I think it's important to utilize the credit monitoring services that are out there as a barometer or a gauge to see where you're trending and make sure you're doing the right things. But truly, there's no substitute for speaking to somebody like myself that does this day in and day out, because there is no easy or one-size-fits-all answer when it comes to credit. There's so many different variables that review of an entire report or profile needs to be done in order to be able to provide the best possible advice and game plan for moving forward. And credit is one of those things that you can't just wave a magic wand over and have it fix instantly. It's something that you need to have a game plan, and the sooner you attack it, the better off you'll be. So,
okay, and I imagine some of your job is looking at the credit score and or the credit report itself and saying, okay, we have this issue, this is how to correct it.
Of course.
Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. And to be candid with you, many consumers will come to me and maybe they're just simply not ready, whether it be for income, assets, or credit-related reasons. But whatever the case may be, my philosophy is really simple. I treat people the way that I would like to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And just to take a step back, when I was younger and applying to buy my first home, I was in my 20s, knew nothing about a mortgage loan, never was taught it in school. I had applied, and consequently, I was denied. But the problem was, Marco, is that I didn't understand why. The lender that I spoke to never explained to me, hey, John, you got to do this and that and work on this area. Call me in 3 months and we'll revisit.
Right, and that's so key. It's saying, okay, well, let's put you on the right path to buying a house.
And it was so disheartening. When, you know, can you picture, I think I was 22 at the time, can you picture somebody at that age nervous as heck? Because let's face it, this is the largest financial decision of your life in most cases.
Right.
Just to be told that you do not qualify and not get any advice was terrible. So
right.
I remember that. That still sticks with me, and I'm a huge advocate of teaching people.
Right.
Because it benefits me, too, in the end. If I teach somebody, hey, do this, that, and the other thing to get yourself up to this level, well, that means that's going to be a heck of a lot cleaner file when it comes to submission, which makes the whole process better for the client, makes the process easier for me and my team as well.
Right, right. So go into this benefit. Prepared.
Absolutely. Well, it begins with speaking to somebody.
Right, right. And tell me what kind of documents are required.
Yeah, there is a misconception that we're going to ask for everything from a blood to a urine sample from you. And while I will admit, compared to a decade ago, we do require a substantial amount of documentation, but ultimately it's really simple, and it can be broken down in just a really small list, and when you look at it logically, it makes sense. You should be prepared to provide the last 2 years' worth of income taxes. We typically only need federal schedules, as well as the W-2s that correspond with them. Now, of course, if you're self-employed, there might be other documentation that we would need with regard to your taxes. Pay stubs. Typically, we need a month's worth of your pay stubs. So if you're paid weekly, that would be 4. Bi-weekly, 2. Bank statements are also important. We have a 2-month look back, typically.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, under certain circumstances, we could ask for more if necessary. So 2 months' worth of bank statements is going to be required. It's very critical or important that you provide all pages of any documents. So when it comes to your federal taxes or your bank statements, make sure if it says pages 1 through 10, all 10 are there, even if one is intentionally left blank. Lastly, retirement account statements are also required if you're going to be listing those assets. So 401k quarterly, and then, of course, you have your driver's license, some sort of photo identification.
Okay. Now, if you could just go back to people who are self-employed. Just very quickly, what kind of documentation can they be expected to hand over?
Well, certainly their 2 years' worth of their federal taxes. Sure. It depends on how the business is structured. So if you are just an LLC, you're going to do a Schedule C. It'll be on your personal returns. If you're a corporation, well, then you would be doing 1120Ss. So that is a separate corporate or business tax return. So in addition to your personal returns, we would ask for your business returns, too. So that would be the primary difference for a self-employed borrower. We would ask for, it's called an 1120S, and your K-1, which is another business or corporate tax form that we would ask for.
Okay.
So, couple more things. Couple extra things for the self-employed people out there.
Right. So, John, how can people reach you?
The best way to reach me, I'm available evenings, weekends. It doesn't matter. I'm always on the clock.
Always working, this guy.
Always working. In fact, it's pretty late tonight, as a matter of fact. The best way to reach me is always going to be by my personal cell phone. The phone number is 508-762-7873. Also, email is a terrific way to be able to reach me. I can be reached at jfaria, that is F-A-R-I-A, at province, P-R-O-V-I-N-C-E, and then the letters mai.com. So again, that's John Faria at province, M-A-I.
Real estate is generally the largest asset that our clients own, so it is very important that the real estate be aligned with the trust in a trust-based plan. I want to thank Mr. John Faria for joining us today. Please give him a call if you have any questions regarding the pre-qualification process, and if you have any questions about estate planning, you can call us at 781-397-1700 or visit our website at www.simmonsandschiavo.com. That's www.simmonsandschiavo.com. Thank you for joining us today.